come to me, all those who are heavy laden with burdens, and I will give you rest. I will turn your anger to I will deliver you every time. For I love you. I paid for you with my blood, and you are mine. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wow. Praise God. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, worship team. Y'all may have your seats. Praise the Lord. Look at someone close to you and say, it's Wednesday night. Amen. God gets excited anytime that believers come together, because then he says, I'm joining the party. Got some special announcements. This Friday night, I was in my office the other day, and a guy came in, and they're having a prayer vigil at the square in Palmyra from 7 to 8 p.m., since Friday is going to be 9/11. And he asked me if I would read a scripture and pray, and I said, sure. I thought it was great. It's a good opportunity for the Holy Ghost to speak. Amen. So if you want to join us this Friday from 7 to 8 p.m., bring a flag and a candle. And we're going to be praying at the square in Palmyra. Also, this Saturday, I want to take the cross out again at about 3:30, because I know that women have woven. So if you want to join us and take the cross downtown Palmyra and pass out tracts, we're going to do that. Just come to the church at about 3:15, and then we'll head there at 3:30, and they go out for a little bit. So if you're bold and would like to do that, we'd encourage you to come and join us and take out the cross on Saturday. Yes. And we're having a casting call. If you know children ages 6 to 12, and if they would like to play an instrument, do a drama, do a dance, or sing. We're looking for kids, especially from our community, to perform. It's not an audition, but they're simply choosing what they would like to do, and then they're going to perform it for our Christmas dinner, Christmas Thanksgiving dinner, which is, I think, in November. So that's going to be this Thursday at 6 p.m.? I think 6 p.m. All right. And then coming up on September 18th, is it 18th or 19th, whatever that Saturday is, we're having a breakfast for all-you-can-eat breakfast, and it's going to benefit our local fire department. And there's a sign-up sheet in the back. There's information in the back.
We have tickets for sale tonight.
Yeah, there are tickets for sale. And if you know people that would like to eat breakfast, they can eat breakfast and support the fire department. So it'll be great. Amen. And then ladies, this Saturday is also woven. So we got a lot going on. All right? Amen. And let's just pray over our offerings tonight. Father, we give you thanks and praise. What a joy and a privilege it is to give, Lord. And we just bless you because you've blessed us. And I just bless, Lord, bless every gift and giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. I have it's along the lines of live, enter, and possess, and I'm simply titling this tonight, how to dominate over, how to take dominion over life's circumstances. How many know that circumstances come up in life? And God created us to take dominion, all right? To rule, to exercise authority, all right? Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to begin there, verse 26. We're going to read verses 26 to 28. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Everybody say dominion. And he says, "Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the what?" Did the Bible say, have dominion over all the earth? Okay? "And over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Aren't you glad you can have dominion over creeps? Amen? And that's not crepes, it's creeps. There's a difference. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Say, God created me to take dominion. Okay? Other translations, the Young Living says, "Let them rule over." All right? Instead of the word dominion, they use the words rule over. The New King James says, "Let them have dominion." The New Living Translation says, "They will be masters over all." Masters over all. And the English version says, "They will have power over." All right? There are things that come up in life. And some things we expect to happen. Other things happen that we don't expect. Sometimes things happen that take us by surprise. All right? And sometimes circumstances can be overwhelming, can't they? Right? Satan will use circumstances to try to crush you, to try to deter you from your purpose, to try to convince you that you cannot win, but he's a liar. Amen? But God will take the very same circumstances and he will cause you to dominate. He will cause you to take dominion over, and you'll get through without being scathed, without being touched, right? You'll come out on top, no matter what happens to you. All right? See, God created man capable of governing the world. All right? And when we, as godly people, when we strive to fulfill God's purpose, how many know God's got a purpose? God's got a purpose for you. God's got a purpose for me. And when you make it your heart's goal to do what God wants you to do, all right, you're equipped to take dominion. And with right thinking and being willing to do God's will and living in righteousness and holiness, we will be able to take dominion over everything that comes against us. If we have dominion over the whole earth, then anything that Satan uses cannot harm us. Okay? And the Lord showed me that the key to taking dominion in life is found in Joshua. God gave Joshua some keys, because Joshua rose to a position of authority. His mentor, the one whom he served for years, Moses, had died. And now God called Joshua to bring this great people, the Israelites, into the promised land. And God taught Joshua how to take dominion. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. I'm very excited about this. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. There are keys within Joshua chapter 1 that will help us dominate or take dominion over life circumstances that come up. How many want to take dominion? You don't want your circumstances to dominate you. You want to dominate your circumstances. Amen? Jesus took dominion, didn't he? When he walked this earth, there was nothing that could deter him from what God called him to do. I mean, people criticized him. People mocked him. People called him names. They even tried to kill him, but were unsuccessful. He just kept on doing what he needed to do. And every time he entered into a situation, he took dominion, and that situation was a whole lot better after he was there than what it was before he was there. He took dominion over sickness. He took dominion over devils. When the devil opened up its mouth, he would say, "Hold your peace," and that demon couldn't speak anymore. He took dominion. He took his, and when he spoke, even the people said, "What is this? He speaks with authority." Not like the scribes or the Pharisees. This guy's different. He has power behind his words. Okay, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Moses, my servant is dead." You know, when God tells you that something's dead, it's time to move on. Amen? Some people want to ride the dead wave. All right? Joshua maybe could have spent weeks and weeks and weeks of mourning for his mentor Moses. But God just comes along and says, "Look, Moses is dead. Now, come on. Let's go, Joshua." He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites." Do you realize that Israel should be in possession of Iraq? That's where Euphrates is. God gave them that whole place. All right? "And the land of the Hittites unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." So the first thing that we see is the Lord spoke to Joshua. How many know you need to hear God's word? If you want to take dominion in life, if you want to overcome circumstances, negative circumstances that come against you, you've got to have a word from God. Amen? The word is alive. The word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce to the dividing asunder between soul and spirit and joints and marrow. The word of God is the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. You got to get God's word on what you need. Because when circumstances in life come up, the only solution that's going to change the circumstances is God's word. Did you know that God's word created this world? Hebrews tells us that the worlds were framed by God's word. In other words, God's word provides the framework that holds this world together. Okay? The very same word that is holding this universe together is the same word that God will speak to you to change your situation. If God's word can create these worlds, imagine what it can do for you. So the Lord spoke to Joshua. You've got to find scriptures about circumstances in life. You've got to read them, you've got to hear them, and you've got to see them. Amen? Your first response when something comes up in life should be to go to the book. Put your crying aside, put the emotions aside, and go to the book and get a word from God. That word from God will make a difference. Amen? You've got to believe what the Bible says without help from anyone or anything else. Do you know that sometimes when you're facing a situation, you can't mix anything else with the Word. You don't want to water down the Word. You don't need to pump up the Word. You don't need to prop up the Word. Right? The Bible says don't add to it or don't take away from it. It's good the way it is. It's good in its pure form. Okay? I remember we were walking in a national park in New Zealand, in Rotorua, New Zealand. And they had a spring. That spring was 50 feet deep. And the water was 99.9% pure. And I had to taste it. So I had a little cup and I dipped it right into the water there and took a drink. And boy, that water was good. Did you know that things in their pure form are the best? There's no additive that you can add to the Word to make it more effective in your life. Just take God at His word. All right? God spoke to Joshua. You got to ask yourself this. Is what God says in His word true? How many believe that what God says in His word is true? All right? And it's not just what He says in His word, it's just what He says, period. Okay? So you got to believe that God's word is true. Then you got to ask yourself, is it for you now? If the Lord says to you, be healed, is healing for you right now? If the Lord says, be filled, is your filling right now? If the Lord says, I love you, can you receive from His love right now? Okay? So you got to ask yourself, that if what God says is true, is it for you now? And then if you answer yes to those both questions, then the only thing left is believe it wholeheartedly. Embrace it with everything in your being. You know, grab hold of that word. Hold it tight. Hold it close. Never let it go. Hold fast to your salvation. If you believe that what God said is true, and if you believe it's for you now, then all there is left to do is believe it wholeheartedly. You don't have to wait. You can believe it right now. And the moment you believe it right now, that's when it'll act for you. Because when you believe it right now, it will thrust you to action. Okay? Believing the word wholeheartedly right now is like NASA saying, blast off. Okay? Right? You know, there's a countdown for the shuttle. They count down. They do all these tests, and then they count down. But when they get to zero, they say blast off. Man, those engines ignite, and that space shuttle is thrust in motion. And when you believe God's word wholeheartedly, you'll be thrust into action. Whew. The word dominion itself means to tread down. It means to crumble off. It means to prevail. It means to reign. It means to rule. It's the Hebrew word rada or rada. I'm no Hebrew person, but thank God for Strong's. Right? There was a prophet in the Bible called Elijah. 1 Kings 17:2. Go to 1 Kings 17:2. Elijah had just pronounced a drought. He stood before King Ahab, and Ahab was a wicked king. The Bible describes him as the most wicked king up to that point. Can you imagine having that title? And verse 2, 1 Kings 17:2. There we go. What came to Elijah when he needed to go somewhere? The word came to him saying, listen, if you just stood before a king and you tell him it's not going to rain, you probably won't want to stick around there for too long. Amen? You know, kings don't like to hear bad news, I guess. But Elijah was sent to the wilderness, but it was the word of the Lord that came to him saying, all right? And then this word gave him direction, and this word instructed him on how to get provision. Go by the brook Cherith. There you're going to drink water. And there, I've commanded ravens to feed you. But I want you to see, it was the word of the Lord that sent him there. He did not act apart from the word. The Bible didn't say, and Elijah felt like he should go to the brook. No, the word of the Lord came to him. The word spoke to his heart. The word spoke to him. Listen, when God speaks to you, he knows how to communicate to you clearly. God's got your number. Doesn't matter if you're hard-headed or light-headed, God knows how to get through to you. Okay? The word of the Lord came to him saying, he went where God's word told him to go. And it was just like the word said. He went to the brook. There was water. And while he was hanging out at the brook, ravens would come and bring him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Now, the brook dried up. But just because the brook dries up doesn't mean you leave where you are. You must get another word from God. Did you know that when your circumstance changes, God will give you another word? Go down to verse 8. The brook dried up. And guess what? Right when the brook dried up, the word of the Lord came saying, I've prepared a widow. Go to Zarephath. I've prepared a widow there to take care of you. Once again, the word comes, gives direction. The word comes, gives instruction. And because he does what the word says, Elijah gets provided for. Elijah gets taken care of. Now imagine what would happen if you do what the word says. You'll get taken care of. You'll be directed. You'll be guided. You'll be kept safe. And the enemy can't touch you. Why? Because Elijah knew how to take dominion. He knew how to take dominion over the circumstances of life. He used the word. Go to 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Every scripture, everybody say, every scripture. The Bible says it's God, it's inspired by God. What does that mean? It means God breathed on it. What happened to us when God breathed in us? We became a living soul, right? Did you know that God's breath brings life? And God's sneeze parts waters. You know that there's a scripture, it says when he parted the Red Sea with the blast of his nostrils. When God sneezed, waters parted. It does say that, the blast of his nostrils. Woo! That's what you call a bless you sneeze, man. Okay, every scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God. And it is what? What's that next word? What does it mean to be profitable? It means that you have more when you finish than what you started with. Right? Say, the word is profitable. Say, the word is profitable to me. Say, the word makes me profit. Is that true? Is that for you now? Amen. So all you got to do is believe it wholeheartedly, right? You guys are a smart class. Okay, every scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for what? For instruction, for reproof, and correction. Now, isn't reproof and correction good for us sometimes? Because what it does is it comes along and says, what you've been doing is wrong, but you can do it this way. All right? Look, don't go that way. The bridge is out. Go this way. This is a better way. And God's word comes and points us into a better way. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay? You want to know how to live right? The Bible will teach you. There's not an area that you will face in life that the Bible doesn't have a word for, that the Bible doesn't talk on. It talks about raising kids. It talks about being a good employee, being a boss, handling money, disciplining. It talks about saving. It talks about your purpose. It talks about everything. And it's profitable. And it will equip you for every, the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Say, I'm equipped. The only equipment you need is the Word and the Holy Ghost. If you were out in the desert and if you had the Word and the Holy Ghost, you could build a city. Because whoever has the Word and the Holy Ghost can dominate wherever they are, wherever they go. I don't know about you, but I want to dominate. I'm looking to dominate Friday night. I'm looking for the Holy Ghost to fall on Friday night. I never met this guy before. He just came into my office and said, do you want to pray and read the scripture? Yeah. Sounds like God. Okay, you don't have to turn to these because I'm just going to mention to you. Proverbs 4:20 talks about attending to God's word. Pay attention to God's word. When you're reading, when you're listening to God's word, pay attention. Okay? Why? Because it's important. It's eternal. It'll change your life. But listen, the word of God demands your attention. All right? Exodus 15:26 talks about diligently hearing God's voice and you'll be healed. Isn't that important? If you're sick, you need to hear what God has to say to you because he'll give you steps to do, things to do in the midst of that. All right? Faith comes by what? Hearing what? Can faith come by hearing opinions? Can faith come by hearing experiences? Can faith come by having knowledge? Faith comes by hearing what? Only the Word of God will produce faith. The real Bible faith, anyway. The God kind of faith. Okay? Then the Word of the Lord, God spoke to Joshua, all right? And then he said one little word. He said, arise. Look at someone close to you and say, arise. All right? In other words, he's saying, Joshua, you got to take action. You got to move in accordance with God's commands. You got to do what he says. Arise. See, a person who's laying down is overwhelmed. Some people feel like that about wanting to get out of bed some days. They don't want to get out of the bed, they just want to get under the bed. They're overwhelmed. But God will come on, he'll say, arise. He'll say, get up. Listen, we don't take things sitting down. We take things taking a stand, standing up. So God told Joshua to arise. If you want to take dominion, you're going to have to arise. Okay? Just think of it as just taking action. How many want to know the key to miracles? The key to miracles is found at a wedding where they needed wine. They ran out of wine. John chapter 2. And Mary comes along. I don't know if she was the wedding planner or if she was the party coordinator, but somehow she had information that the wine came out and she was going to take action. And she goes to the servants and she says, whatever he says, do it. Now, you don't normally tell that to someone unless what they're about to be told is going to be illogical. But Mary prepared them ahead of time. Mary said, whatever he says, what's the next part? Do it. The key to miracles is whatever he says, do it. What did he tell the servants to do? Fill the pots with water. Wait a minute, Jesus. Fill the pots with water. We don't need water. We need wine. But the key to miracles is what? Whatever he says, do it. If Jesus says fill it with water, then you fill it with water. Okay? The servants filled it with water. And then he says, now take it out and give it to the governor. The guy who put the water in there knew what was in there. And now he's supposed to take this out, and they're wanting wine, but he takes it out. Why? Whatever he says, do it. He takes it to the governor, and between the time that the water was poured in there to the time the governor tasted it, a miracle happened. That water was transformed into wine. Let me ask you something. Wine doesn't even come from water in the first place. Oh my goodness. God took something that doesn't even produce wine and made wine out of it. Now, tell me if he cannot change your situation. He can take your water and make it into wine. The key is, though, you got to do what he says. Even if it doesn't make, it's not going to make sense. God doesn't make sense, but he makes perfect spiritual sense. Your spirit perfectly understands God, but your mind is like saying, huh? What? Your spirit's going, yeah, and your mind's going, I don't think so. Go with your spirit. Amen? Don't go with your head. You'll miss out. So he brings it to the governor of the feast. The governor tasted it. He said, now most people, they don't bring out the best to the light, but you brought out the best now. I mean, not only was it wine, it was the best wine. Listen, if you're at a party and you need party supplies, Jesus can make you party supplies. Seriously. That's what it means to arise. Whatever he says, do it. All right? The Bible said that Noah did everything that God said. Did you know that God said, okay, Noah, I want you to build a boat. But you know what God left out? God did not say it's going to take you 100 years. He left that piece of information out. If you knew that you were supposed to build. Why do I say it took 100 years? God spoke to Noah when he was 500. It rained when he was 600. That's 100 years. Why did it take 100 years? Because there's only 8 people building the boat. Okay? No one else was helping Noah. Why? Everyone was wicked. Everyone else didn't care about others. They cared about themselves. Noah did everything that God said. He built the ark. Then, something that never happened up to that point, it rained. Up to that point, it had never rained. A mist would come up from the earth. Read it. Genesis 5 and 6. I want you to build a boat, Noah, because it's going to rain. Excuse me, Lord, what's rain? It's when water falls from the sky. Oh, okay. Didn't know what that was because it never happened before. But the key to Noah's success, he did what God said. Can you do what God says? Can you be a person who arises when God speaks? Who takes action? If you want to take dominion, you're going to have to be a person of action. You can't wait to God to do it. God's waiting. Did you realize God's waiting on us more than we're waiting on him? And God's saying, well, it's about time you took some action. You know, God is just waiting for us to take action so that that's something he can bless. Did you know that if we don't take any action, he can't bless it? Because it's nothing. Amen? Praise God, this is good. Jesus met Peter. He preached, and he used Peter's boat as a pulpit. And when he was done preaching, he told Peter, he said, hey, Peter, cast out your nets. Peter looked at him, you've got to be kidding me. You know how we look when you've exerted all this energy and nothing came about of it and someone wants more out of you? And Peter said, I've toiled all night. I worked the night shift and I caught nothing. But thank God that Peter didn't stop there. He said, nevertheless, at your what? At your word. Do you realize the very place that Jesus told him to cast his nets was where he fished all night? What was the difference? The difference was now he had a word. So he cast out the net. Jesus said nets. He cast out net. What happened? The net almost broke. That's why Jesus said nets. It's important to listen to what he says. Do you realize that they caught so much fish that both Peter and Andrew and James and John were astonished? These guys are a fishing business, a fishing partnership. They were astonished at how much fish they caught. The boat started to sink. When 10 minutes ago, there wasn't a fish around, but at the word of God, God created fish right there in that spot. So you got to arise. You got to hear God's word, and you got to take action. All right? Then God told Joshua, he said, go over the Jordan. Whew, get excited about Jordan. Jordan is a river. And at the Jordan is a place of transition to cross over into what God has for you. How many know that if you want to go from not having a miracle to a miracle, you got to cross over something, don't you? Maybe you got to cross over doubt or unbelief or insecurity, but you got to cross over to get the miracle. Jordan is a place of transition to cross over into what God has for you. Jordan is a place where you can experience the goodness of God. What's the goodness of God? When you step into the Jordan, it parts. It doesn't matter if it's at flood stage. The waters will part so you can go, so you won't get your clothes wet. That's the goodness of God. In other words, when you cross the Jordan, God makes a way for you to go into something better. Maybe tonight you're about to cross the Jordan. Jordan is a place where the troubled waters are stopped and you can cross over safely. In other words, it's a safe place to make a transition. You can make a transition apart from the trouble. Whew. Jordan is a place of new beginnings. How do I know that? Jesus was baptized in the Jordan where he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Naaman was cleansed in the Jordan, and Elisha received a double portion at the Jordan. It's a place of new beginnings. Maybe you need a new beginning tonight. Maybe you need a fresh start tonight. You can have it. You got to cross your Jordan, though. Whew, this is good. And then he told Joshua, verse 3, he said, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, God has given to you. Every place where you put your foot, what happens to it? Ownership is transferred. Ownership is transferred with a step. Another step. Oh, got more ownership. Another step. Uh-oh, more ownership. Another step. Did not the Bible say every place where the sole of your foot treads? Okay. Here's what God showed me about that. Where our foot treads is where we invest in hope. I had the same reaction too. I was like, whoa, that is so cool, God. Titus 1, verses 1 through 3. The NIV, verse 2 says, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life. Did you know that Abraham, contrary to hope, believed in hope? And when he believed, what happened? It was counted unto him for righteousness. He tread on righteousness by resting in hope. Even when it didn't look too hopeful, his hope was in God. Listen, when your hope is in God, you're anchored in the right place. Let me read it to you. Romans 4, verses 18 and 19. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. He believed in hope. In other words, he tread his spiritual footprint in hope. Powerful. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. When you stand in hope, it releases rejoicing and it gives you access to grace. You can possess grace by standing in hope. Hope is really expectation. Some people are hoping to get healed, but they're using it in the wrong sense. That's sometime in the future. When someone says, I'm hoping to get healed, they have not believed that they're healed already. How many know to get healed by faith, you got to believe you received before you have? Oh, Romans 15, 13. This will get you going right here. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing. Can you imagine you can have all joy and peace at the same time while you're believing? Whew! The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know the power of the Holy Spirit will cause you to abound in hope? What does that mean? It means your expectation is God's invitation. The man at the gate, beautiful, when Peter said, look at me, the Bible said he was expecting to receive something, but he didn't know what he was about to get. But he had an expectation. And Peter looked at him and said, look, I forgot my wallet. He said, silver and gold I don't have. It doesn't mean that Peter was poor, because can you imagine how much fish, how much profit Peter made from selling the boatload of fish? He made enough fish where he could leave his job and follow Jesus. Anyway, that's a side thought. The man at the gate, beautiful, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. He took him by the hand, lifted him up. He said, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. That man who was lame, all of a sudden, why? Because Peter took dominion over that situation. He changed the situation. And the man leaped up, jumped, and walked, and went into the temple with them, walking. No telling how long he sat at that temple begging, until a believer came along, two believers actually, that took dominion of that situation. Can you say amen? All right, one more on hope. Colossians 1:23. If indeed you continue in the faith, how many know you got to continue in faith? Faith is not a once and done deal. Oh, if you thought that, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. Faith is a lifestyle. It's not a once and done thing. It's how you live every day. Sorry to burst your bubble. No, I'm not sorry, but I'm glad that bubble is bursted. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, grounded, steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel in your heart. You know, circumstances in life come and they try to move you away from the hope of the gospel. They try to tell you that, oh, God doesn't work. This stuff doesn't work. Lie, lie, lie. If anything is not working, it's us. Never accuse God of not being able to do something. God can do anything. He's got all the power, and he can do anything. He does everything he says. He does not fail. It's us who miss it. If something's not working, it's not God's fault. It's somewhere with us. And if you ask him, he'll be glad to show you, because he wants it to work for us more than we want it to work for ourselves. Amen? Okay, I got five more minutes. All right. God told Joshua, he said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. You can dominate your world or your situation. You can become invincible to the worldly forces. Did you know that God made you invincible? I'll never forget when I was laying on the pavement after meeting a van as a pedestrian in a bad way. I got hit by a van. I'm laying on the pavement. The police officer runs up the lane. Fiona's in her office. He comes in, finds her, tells her. She's making her way down. On her way down, God speaks to her, gives her a word. She takes that word. She knows it's true. She knows it's for her now, and she speaks it when she gets to me. She takes the very same word that God gave her, and she gave it to me. Now, I know that made all the difference in the world. It made a difference for me having a severe injury versus a non-severe injury. But it worked. And, you know, God's quick on his stuff. No man will be able to stand before you. God kept his word to Joshua. Just write this down. Deuteronomy 11:25, Joshua 10:8, Joshua 12:1, Joshua 21:44, and Joshua 23:9 all talk about how his enemies, I'll repeat that. All those references talk about the enemies that could not stand against Joshua. All right, Deuteronomy 11, 25. Joshua 10:8. Joshua 12:1. Joshua 21:44. And Joshua 23:9. Bingo! No, just kidding. That'd be Bible bingo, by the way. Did you know that according to Deuteronomy 28:7, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face? They shall come against you one way and leave from your presence seven ways. Whew! They come at you one way, but they're leaving seven ways. According to Psalm 18:29, did you know that you can run against a troop and you can leap over a wall? Or if need be, you can bring the walls down? Did you know, according to Ephesians 6:10, that you can quench every fiery dart the enemy hurls at you? What does it mean to quench? It means to render it useless and ineffective, inoperable. Did you know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper? And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be condemned? Did you know that according to Psalm 129:2, you can be afflicted, but no matter how many times you're afflicted, your enemy will not prevail over you. Why? You're invincible. When you're standing strong in God, you're invincible. Now, if you try to take the devil on in the flesh, he'll whoop you every time. Because you don't fight in the flesh. If you think people are the problem of your life, you're losing the battle already. I know the devil uses people, but people aren't your problem. You know the two greatest problems that you face in life? Number one is yourself. Oh, what are you talking about, Pastor? Yeah, that's right. Did you know that the flesh wars against the spirit? And it's 2-1. Your flesh and your mind have not been regenerated. But your spirit has. So you got to be strong spiritually to overcome the other two. So you're your biggest problem, and then the devil's the biggest, second biggest problem. But he's not such a big problem because he's defeated. So who does that leave? Uh-oh. That leaves me as the biggest problem. Why say that an enemy who's been defeated is a big problem? Can you see the winning team saying, oh, you know, they were just a big problem? No, but you won. They're not a problem anymore because you won. How can you be a problem if you're defeated? How can you be a problem if you've been stripped of all your authority? How can you be a problem if you've got to lift a person's foot to say anything? Oh. All right. This is my favorite one out of this one. Proverbs 21, 22, and then I'm going to close. Proverbs 21, 22. This is awesome. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. Is that not awesome? He scales the city of the mighty. This city ain't nothing to God. He climbs up that and he brings down the trusted stronghold after having climbed the city. A wise man does that. Who's our wisdom? Jesus Christ is our wisdom. So I believe that you're here tonight and you need to take dominion into some things in life tonight. I love it when, see, God just dropped this into my heart. He dropped the word dominion. And the first place I went to was Genesis, and then he took me to the rest of the places. Someone came here on a Wednesday night that needs to dominate their circumstances. Because your circumstances have been dominating you. And it's time to turn the tide. It's time to get the victory. It's time to make a decisive move so that you crush your enemies and they leave from you seven ways tonight. You may have come here with an entourage of enemies that are pulling on you and pushing on you and trying to keep you down. But it's time, you're about to break out of all that tonight. Amen? I believe God's going to break through some things tonight. And he's going to cause you to take dominion over circumstances in life. And if you need to take dominion tonight, then come and take your place of dominion right here. This is the victory. This is the goal line. This is the victory line right here. You come and you stand, and you're going to get victory tonight in the name of Jesus. You're going to get victory tonight. You're going to take dominion tonight. Why? Because the dominator is Jesus Christ. God's going to release to you divine purpose. He's going to release to you divine strength. He's going to release to you divine strategies. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. Every enemy that faced Jesus is gone except for death. And he's coming back to take care of that one too. Hallelujah. We're going to start over here. Yeah, our young people need to take dominion. There's a superhero within every one of us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release the spirit of dominion.